Second down and three at the six. Stroud takes the snap, takes the toss behind him, throws right side. Christian Kirk to the end zone. Touchdown, Houston! 6-yard touchdown pass from C.J. Stroud to Christian Kirk, and the Texans go in front.
And at that point, they went in front, never to relinquish the lead again. A 30-6 ass-whooping, if I can call it something like that, versus the Pittsburgh Steelers at Acrisure Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, can I say something real quick?
Please.
That Christian Kirk touchdown?
Uh-huh.
That was the exact same side as Mike Renfro's.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
I do things intentionally
at times. It was the exact same side of the end zone where Mike Renfro's completed touchdown.
I think CJ and Kirk knew it.
Yeah. Demon so exercise? Can we wash our hands of that, Lopez?
What do you mean
we're working on it? Is it exercise or not?
No, because we still have Patriots. We still have Bills, perhaps.
All right, but that thing in particular that you talked about, the Mike Renfro, that was good.
His was in the back corner. Kirk's was in the front corner.
See, you can never make people happy.
No, it was that side.
Come on,
they did
all that work for him, man.
Yeah, for Mike Renfro.
They tried to honor the Oilers, right? That's done. We did it.
That's done.
Thank you. All right,
they tried to honor the Oilers.
You know what I mean?
They did. Christian Kirk.
Houston football, baby. Houston football moving on to the divisional round in this game. 30-6. The 13 technically of those were inspired directly by the defense scoring. But this offense was able to do some things. What was it? Over 400 yards of offense and everything. And I would like to make a case here, John Lopez, if you don't mind, as I always encourage people to get involved. Tell me if you believe I'm right or if you think I'm an idiot. That's fine as well. 713-572-4610, the number to text. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams. YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, Twitch chat 610 Houston. John Lopez, that was one of, if not the most encouraging offensive games that the Texans have put up this season.
Okay. Yes.
Why the upward inflection, though? Why are you saying that?
And I want to dig into it because I think
you think that was the end of the segment?
No.
All right, we did it.
All right,
the end of the segment.
Because there is a lot of meat on the bone and a lot to be said for that statement you just made. But you're missing one little factor, one little potential hiccup, if you will, fly in the ointment of that offensive performance being duplicated with actual, I don't know, touchdowns. You know, there's one little element, and that element goes by the initials CJ.
Yeah, CJ Stroud did not cover himself in glory. However, I think that doing some of this in spite of his clear lack of confidence, I think, or just, you know, the mistakes that he did make are part of this. We will dig deeper into CJ Stroud's performance because I think it's a little bit more nuanced than I think immediately you want to give it credit for in that moment. And I would like to say because I also was in that place last night. If you could check our group chat, you would see it. But can we start with the fact that actually I would like to start with one of the things that you heard, right? We came back with the touchdown that was scored in the red zone, CJ Stroud to Christian Kirk. Can I say that one more time for you? The touchdown that was scored in the red zone by this offense. And the thing about that is one of the things that we have clamored for is their ability to be more effective in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Is this a panacea? Absolutely not. This is not going to cure all. But that was a schemed touchdown in the red zone by Nick Caley. What you saw on that play, you saw an orbit motion. I don't even remember who came out here, but you fake the end around. And the entirety of the Pittsburgh defense flows that way.
Yeah,
they are all in with the eye candy. While you're doing that, Christian Kirk coming the other way behind the line of scrimmage leaks out an admittedly weird pass from CJ behind Christian Kirk, who makes the catch and scores a touchdown. That is well-designed football play to the likes of what we have not seen frequently from Nick Caley in this offense, and they did it immediately once they got into the red zone on the backs of a fantastic drive leading up that is the next place that I want to go. But I want to start by saying, look at the effectiveness of that at least one play. But, I mean, they did it twice with the Woody Marks run in the red zone, and you're seeing that schemed from Nick Caley in that way.
I think absolutely it was a great play call. But I think you have to go maybe a couple of steps before that to really, you know, sort of comprehend and understand why it was so wide open and why it was such a good play call. They were gashing
correct
the Pittsburgh Steelers
correct
defense. They were running the ball you know, in sixes and eights and 12s. And so when you're able to do that and you're getting the production from the offensive line, all of a sudden, little misdirection on an end around, you know it's going to be open because the defense is all geared up and lined up to stop the run. So it was actually, yes, great play call, great comprehension of the moment, but it happened because of what you were doing running the ball.
And I would like to bring you to that. Thank you for leading me mm-hmm. right to the place. I think that you can give him credit for some of the play calling because I do think that you saw some of the smart decisions early on, but even before you were able to establish that run in the way that you did, mm-hmm. the things that were working were the essence of your offense. Within that opening script, you could see that Nick Caley was trying to take shots, do some mm-hmm. creative, like some innovative things. I very much appreciated that Nick Caley relatively quickly, I want to mm-hmm. say it was maybe drive three, mm-hmm. clearly made the recognition that, oh, this is just going to be a we can beat your ass game.
Well, and part of it also was the you know, they had had some issues with C.J. Stroud already.
They had.
You know,
they
so
had.
I'm sure DeMeco Ryans was in the headset as well.
I'm sure he had a factor, you know, of it.
Run the damn ball.
But somewhere within the hierarchy, yeah. they came together and made the decision, oh, no need to complicate this. And mm-hmm. they just leaned on what worked. And mm-hmm. you've heard me honestly say this in regards to the red zone at times. Do what you do. Mm-hmm. And they did that. They went a ton of inside zone, a ton of duo with the combination blocks. And credit to the offensive line, that was a phenomenal offensive performance on the offensive line, just absolutely moving.
Cameron Hayward and the inside defensive tackles were doubled consistently, successfully. And that opened up the cutback lane or even just a straight ahead.
Straight ahead a lot of times.
And a lot of times.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it was fantastic to just see him go, hey, go forward. This mm-hmm. we have had our bread and butter when we've had good run games.
Yeah.
It has been behind letting these guys get up. Combination blocks, sometimes that allows, it especially helps Jake Andrews get that first push, move him mm-hmm. on. And I honestly had not given enough consideration to how inside zone lines up pretty well against a 3-4 front. And they used that to their advantage. They leaned wholly into that and were able to make some pushes. One more thing when it comes to Nick Caley specifically in his game planning. Did you know that there were three teams in the NFL who were really bad, who allowed more than 9 yards per target to slot receivers?
And?
One of them is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Can I tell you what this team did versus the slot in this game?
And that is?
11 of 15, a touchdown and an interception mm-hmm. versus the slot in this game. And a lot of that was Christian Kirk.
Welcome to the party, man. I would argue that the Christian Kirk acquisition, despite what we thought and saw from him in the regular season, last night's game made it worth it. That last night's game alone made the Christian Kirk acquisition worth it because, for one thing, and we'll get into this at some point, there was no Nico Collins.
After a while. Yeah.
And clearly, you had to lean on some sort of veteran presence across the middle in the slot, as you just mentioned. And Christian Kirk was 144 yards receiving?
That is the most yards put up receiving in a Texans playoff game. Mm-hmm. Hello, Christian Kirk. Welcome to the Texans record books. And you needed it. Did a great job. Honestly, Christian Kirk, he got some man looks. He was talking about this in the postgame show mm-hmm. with Clint and Sean. You could vividly see him create separation himself, something that I've been upset about all season long because yeah. it did not feel like the veteran wide receiver that you traded a 7th-round pick mm-hmm. was creating separation with his route running.
Yeah.
He did that in this game. I vividly remember that the shallow cross that he then was able to take upfield. Mm-hmm. He creates separation on that route by giving, I don't even remember who the defender was, give him a little shimmy. Mm-hmm. That slows the defender, and now you've got real separation for CJ to hit that target. Mm-hmm. That dude showed up in a way that was also encouraging because you're going to need that, especially if Nico Collins remains in the concussion protocol come Sunday.
The thing that I noticed with Christian Kirk that was a revelation, it was a relief, is how many times has Christian Kirk not dropped the ball or not caught a ball that was off target or whatever on sit-down routes, on stop routes and stuff? In this game, they had him moving. They had him using his speed a lot more. And I think whether it was the touchdown or the big crossers, what did he have, a 46-yard reception, 33-yard yeah. reception, something like that? That's not something that they even tried a lot with him before. So it was clearly a game plan thing, maybe because of what you're talking about with the slot.
And that went even further because yeah. I see you, Trey, on the YouTube page, the Jalen Noel miscatch that happens mm-hmm. because in some part, Titus Howard gets pushed into C.J. Stroud's lap. C.J. can't step into it, so it floats a little bit. In another part, because Noel is incapable of holding onto the football through a pretty mm-hmm. hard hit by the safety Clark. But that's another instance. And on top of that, even the flea flicker. I know that there's been a little bit of debate on whether or not you went there. I thought that was a great play because Nick Caley acknowledged, look at this secondary. Mm-hmm. Where can we attack them? And I'll take you back to Week 18, Steelers-Ravens. Some of their big plays, especially the one where Lamar Jackson manages to escape both Highsmith and T.J. Watt, get the ball downfield, that's over the middle of the field with Zay Flowers beyond Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
On that null play, or the play where, not null play, rather.
Was it Higgins?
I think it was Higgins, yeah, hitting a double move on Jalen Ramsey up the middle. Like, that is an acknowledgement of what has worked and a pretty good attempt at attacking those places. I thought Nick Caley did a fantastic job, and it's deeply encouraging as you move forward. In addition with Christian Kirk showing up, the offensive line getting real push. And how about Woody Marks and Nick Chubb's ability?
Nick Chubb had some moments, man.
They read the inside zone so well. They did a great job of, you know, dancing around in there, taking what was blocked up, and then finding a way to get an additional two or three on damn near every run. I thought this was an incredibly encouraging offensive performance by this Texans.
I thought and most of it came down to the offensive line. This iteration of the offensive line could not have had a better performance. On the flea flicker, I was, and this wasn't just because they didn't complete it. I was a little bit down on that play because of how slow developing it was. And at that moment in the early going, the Steelers were getting home and bringing some pressures at that moment. So later on, they were dead, they were tired, et cetera. But at that one, I was a little bit hesitant on it.
I think I put that a little bit more at the feet of, one, Woody Marks has got to get that ball back to the quarterback quicker. And two,
well, again, just slow developing.
CJ Stroud, yeah. You've got to be able to, the thing that they've asked you to do all the time, be protective of the football, know when to, you know, say, you know, take a minor L in a circumstance. He was holding on for the deep shot. He wanted and he pressed in that moment. I think that actually created the turnover.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that could have just been like, oh, interesting attempt at a shot, did not work. And I thought that was more of what happened there. We'll have more opportunity to talk about CJ because you definitely have to have that conversation. But what a great offensive performance in my estimation. Do you think I sold you on it at all? That this was
offensive performance. There is that one little thing.
Sure.
And it's not a little thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that as we continue here on a victory reaction Tuesday after your Texans get a wild card win versus the Steelers. Coming up next, in that victory versus the Steelers, it feels like you put a legend out to pasture somewhat as Aaron Rodgers got knocked around and he seemed frustrated and it seems like he's going to be done. So question of the day, what's a thing that is as satisfying as the Texans possibly sunsetting Aaron Rodgers? 713-572-4610. We talk about it next.